We are given another opportunity to ponder the parable of the sower. It's a very familiar parable. We've heard it many times, and in Adwem we've often used it as an instruction on the necessity of providing good soil for the seed when we ponder. You can't ponder if you're not good soil or trying to be good soil. So it's familiar to us, but that does not mean that we should say, okay, let's move on to something else because we already know this parable. It's a common tendency. Something that's familiar seems to have less value. We're attracted to novelty, change. So something that we've heard many times seems to be less important. But that, you know what happens if you give into that temptation? You become a footpath. The footpath is the very one on whom the seed has no impact. It can't penetrate at all. So don't do that. Let's take another look at this parable of the sower. Jesus himself says this parable is foundational. He said to the apostles, "Do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand any of the parables?" So in other words, this one is important for all parables. Because parables themselves are seeds. So if we don't have some appreciation of how a seed works, well then we can't get parables. Our parables, like seeds, have this dual quality. On the surface, they're very simple. What's a seed? It's so ordinary. But once it's given the proper environment, it produces remarkable fruit. That's true of seeds, and it's true of parables. It's true of the Word of God, in fact. The Word of God is all the seed. And God is always sowing. He's willing to scatter seeds even on soil that's very unlikely to bear much fruit. Because he's so interested in the fruit. He'll risk it. So God is a sower, Jesus Christ is a sower, and his seed is his word. Okay, so we have to get, and if you think about the idea of the seed, you know that the parables, most of the parables, not all, but most of the parables have some kind of agricultural connection, if not about seeds, about harvests, about vineyards, about harvests, working in vineyards, and this sort of thing, because the seed is such a fundamental image. Okay, now if we think about a seed, we know it looks like nothing. And if you were to take a seed and break it open and look inside, you wouldn't see the plant that it can produce. Maybe if you look in a microscope, you can find the cells that are characteristic of a certain kind of plant, maybe. But in the process, of course, you destroy the whole thing. The seed, in order to be properly understood and in order to bear its fruit, has to be given the proper environment. And this is so basic to us, but it's always good to remember how surprising seeds are. Not only in the fact that they grow at all, but that their growth takes place in surprising stages. So the seed in the ground, say, okay, well, let's see what happens. And then after a few weeks, you get this little green thing. This little looks like a piece of grass. And you say, wow, here's a plant that's actually growing. And it grows for a little while, and then all of a sudden, a leaf. Well, you can't tell what kind of leaf you're going to get by looking at the seed. And then after a leaf or a few leaves, all of a sudden, something else, some kind of a bud, some kind of a flower. So where did that come from? You can't tell what kind of flower, what color it will be by looking at the seed. You have to give it space, you have to give it time. Trusting that it has its own power to produce fruit. This is what we do with the word too, but let's stick with the seed. Watch the seed a little longer, nourish the seed a little longer. The flower, that dies too. And then it turns into some kind of a seed, some kind of a fruit, or maybe many, many seeds, 30, 60, 100 fold. And if we watch the process all the way through, we realize, wow, that one seed was extraordinarily fruitful. Okay, this is the way it is with the word. The word might be familiar, it might be short, it might be simple. I know some scriptures are hard to understand, it's true. And some seeds are not immediately obvious how they could possibly be bearing fruit. But that's the nature of seeds and not the nature of the word. Give it a little time, give it a little space, ponder it for a while, and you'll start to see something new that you didn't realize was there. A little shoot of grass, what looks like grass. Give it more time, and it will produce something unexpected and new, a new color, a new shape, a new leaf, a new flower. That's what Jesus is saying here. Now, the parable also makes clear that different kinds of soil have different effect on the seed. The seed has its power. You can't see it at first, but it's there. You have to trust that seeds have power, that the word has power to bear fruit. I usually focus in my own meditation not so much on the footpath, because if on the footpath, that's already a lost cause. You haven't even noticed. You haven't even heard the word. And it's true, we're footpath much of the day. We don't notice at all what God is saying. But since we don't notice and it doesn't have any impact on us, it's very hard to get past that. So I tend to focus in my own reflections on the second and the third category of soil, that is the rocky ground and the thorny ground. Rocky ground does receive the word. So when we're rocky ground, yes, we receive the word. In fact, we're happy to have it. Great. Here's a word. Here's a seed. Here's something that I'm happy to receive and to think about. But then if it's going to challenge me, or if it's going to raise uncomfortable questions, or if it's going to expect me to change, well, then it runs into something like a rock. Hardness of heart, we call it. It's not a footpath that's completely closed off, but it is something hard and is not open to being affected by the word, and that results in no fruit. Now, what we have to ask ourselves, where are we hardened? What are our attachments? What are our prejudices, our fixations, the things that not only do we not want to change, we don't even think it's a good thing to change. Well, that's where the word has a difficulty penetrating us. The other kind of soil that I think we can probably all identify with is this thorny soil. Receives the word, yes. The word starts to sprout. But then, as Jesus says, worldly anxiety, the lure of riches, the craving for other things intrude and choke the word. I think this is the most common in modern times, the most common condition among striving Christians, people who don't care for the word at all, they're just footpath. But for people who are striving to live the faith, I think most of us are like this. We receive the word, take some prayer time in the morning, maybe go to Mass, maybe ponder, perhaps have some devotions. It's all good, you know, our spiritual life is in some order. But then, read the news, or you get into the social media, or you go to work, or you end up in a difficulty with your husband or your wife, or you squabble with your kids, and then somebody is sick, and somebody is asking for money, and you have to go shopping, and this thing is broken, and that doesn't work, and somebody's making demands. And before you know it, the word is choked off. It doesn't have any space. One of the ways of dealing with that, because we have to deal with the world, we have to deal with our relationships and with our responsibilities, and those things do have that tendency to choke off the word or intrude into the space of the heart. That's why it's important to return to prayer more often, even if it's only for a short time. The spiritual masters like St. Francis de Sales would say, don't just pray once a day, because that leaves you vulnerable later in the day to have the word choked off. Take a little moment at midday, even if it's only 2 minutes, pull back from your busy life and then say, what has God said to me? What does God want of me? What is important here? And clear the ground a little bit. And then in the evening too, either in the evening or before you go to bed, be sure and clear the ground again, because for sure something has crept in to choke off the word. Some fear, some anxiety, some attachment. The lure of riches or cravings of other sorts. We have all cravings. That's the nature of the flesh. Okay, now there's something that Jesus adds here about the rich soil. Even rich soil is not all the same. It doesn't always produce the same. Some rich soil produces 30-fold, some rich soil produces 60-fold, some rich soil produces 100-fold. Well, that's up to God. That's up to God. You look at someone like St. Francis of Sales and you say, well, he produced 100-fold. The saints are always very, very rich soil and they produce 100-fold. We can't determine, the soil can't determine how rich, how much the word will multiply. This is part of being a creature. We're not God and we don't determine how rich the seed, how powerful the seed will be in us. We just give ourselves completely to the growth of the seed. Make the space and let God be in charge. Very often we don't see how fruitful we are. And God doesn't let us see, because then we'll just get proud anyway, and then we'll become like a thorny soil again. So who knows whether you're 30, 60, or 100. Maybe in the next life you'll be able to see it. It doesn't matter. What does matter is make space for the word. Okay. So this is not new to anyone in Anuam. This is a reminder to us of how important it is to provide rich soil for the word. Let's take as an example the first reading. This is another passage from the cycle about David. David has in mind to build the temple now that he's king and he's established. He wants to build a temple for the Lord. And today's reading is the response of the Lord to that proposition of David. It's a response of the Lord given through the prophet Nathan. We have to remember when we're talking about David, the kingdom of Israel is a precursor of the kingdom of God. And the king is, King David, is a precursor of Jesus, the King of the universe. So everything in the David story points to Jesus Christ. The kingdom, the king, the house, the temple. The temple in Jerusalem points to the temple of Jesus Christ, his body of the temple of the church. So here, David has this idea of building a temple, and what he receives in response is, no, I have in mind something much greater, a greater temple, a greater house, a more lasting kingdom than you could possibly imagine. So I have this idea of building a temple, this of establishing permanence of the kingdom, that's great. But you can't do it, and you can't do it your way. Accept the seed of my plan, and it will bear fruit 100-fold long after you're dead. And so this is the promise that the Lord gives to David. Not only will I be the one to establish you, I've already established you as the king, but I'm going to make your line reign on the throne forever. This is the only kingdom that will last forever. We know every earthly kingdom, every country or empire eventually collapses, every single one. But this one will last forever. You see how the seed, looking at the seed of the idea of a kingdom and of a temple would never get us to a plant that fruitful. We would never be able to think of that. We have to submit ourselves to God's plan and let its fruitfulness grow over time. And then God will always far surpass whatever we have in mind. If we cling to what we have in mind, if we insist that the way we want things to be will be this, then we just get in the way. We put stones in the ground, or we put thorns in the ground, we get in the way of the flowering of the word, of the seed. Okay, one last thought. Today's saint, a great example of a good listener, of rich soil, St. Francis de Sales. He was born in a wealthy family in France, and he had lots of privileges. He's bright. His family wanted him to be a lawyer, so he studied to be a lawyer. And he could have stayed there. He could have allowed the soil to remain shallow. But he listened more deeply and recognized the Lord was calling him to more. Entered the priesthood, started to proclaim the gospel. He was sent to Geneva, which at the time was not very good soil, because it was under the domain of the Protestant Reformation. France was still pretty Catholic, but going north in the northern countries, he ran into a lot more Protestantism. And so he went there and started to plant the seed of the word in such a way that people started to recognize, oh, the Catholic faith is true after all. And he drew a lot of people back into the Catholic faith. Very successful. And part of his wisdom was to make clear to people of all states of life, lay people in all different situations, professions, circumstances, rich, poor, men, women, people in public office, people, common laborers, housewives. He said, there's a way for you to be good soil. You don't have to do it the way the priests do it, the way the monks do it, the way the bishops do it. You have to provide good soil in the reality of the situation you're in. That's the wisdom you see in his book, The Introduction to the Devout Life. He's talking about how devout life, meaning providing good soil for the word, that so that you can grow in holiness. You don't have to leave your family in order to grow in holiness. That's an error. Some people are called, of course, young people are called to leave their family, perhaps, and consecrated life is still a very great gift and vocation that we have to pray for. But if we don't limit the call to holiness just to those people, and this is one of the, it's part of the genius of St. Francis de Sales. That's why I say he's a very modern saint. He's like a saint of Vatican II, to say the call to holiness is for everybody. Everyone's responsible to provide good soil for the seed of the word and to grow in holiness.